conspiracy theories are they're fun to listen to, especially if you have enough evidence to know that they aren't real. But they're often hard to believe. You know, you hear them and they have this, they draw you in, but at the same time you're like, that just isn't believable. Recently, I had a friend share a link with me to a story that a conspiracy theory that we hadn't actually landed on the moon, and this guy that was trying to convince everybody of this had this 8 or 10 minute spiel about all of the things that kept us from going to the moon, the radiation belt around the Earth that we couldn't get through, and the fact that the temperatures would have been too hot in part of the atmosphere, and then also the re-entry would have been too much, and several other points that he made to try to prove that we hadn't been to the moon. But yet I've seen pictures from the Hubble Space Telescope that are way outside of our atmosphere. Seen pictures of Mars from the rover on Mars, pictures from other space voyages that we've sent ships on, and there's just enough proof out there that I don't buy it, that we never made it to the moon. And then there was another one I ran across, a flat Earth, and this one for a long time people have been trying to claim that the Earth is flat, but this one, this guy made himself a rocket, and immediately when I saw the video, I thought, Wile E. Coyote. Now, all it needed to do was say Acme down the side of it. This guy had built himself a rocket. He was going to propel himself up high enough that he could prove that the Earth was really flat. It didn't go that high or that far, but... And then, in the same vein, there was somebody who'd stitched a bunch of pictures together from like the top of Mount Everest trying to show that from there the world was just flat. But you know, I've been up in an airplane enough to see the curvature of the Earth when you get up there high enough. I've been in places where the ground was flat enough and you could drive for miles and it was all flat. Thank you, Western Kansas. But as you were driving, you could still see that the Earth had just a little bit of a curvature, because though it was flat, it disappeared before you could see what should have been the end. You see, while those are funny, there's others that are a bit more serious and not nearly as laughable. Jackson wanted me to make sure I commented on the fact that the 9/11 attacks were actually an inside job. Now, I don't believe that, but that's one of the conspiracy theories that goes around. Or the fact that JFK was actually assassinated by the CIA. You know, they get to be a little bit more serious. But whatever the case, there's enough evidence to prove or to show that those aren't really the case. There are other theories that go around and come around, and, well... Like Duffy mentioned, I like to read my theology books. And so, you know, I read some of those theories that people put out there, and some of those theories that got me thinking were theories about why Luke ended the book of Acts the way he did. But before we answer that, before we get to that this morning, let's look at Acts chapter 28, verses 30 and 31, because, well, Luke has written two volumes to Theophilus, and he comes to the end of the second volume, and there's so much that we would like to have him answer. There's so many things that we would like Luke to tell us, but at the end of two long accounts for Theophilus, he says this: for two whole years Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Now, I can tell you that a guy wrote this. Because if this had been a female writing this, we would have had so many more details about the end of what happened. But Luke writes it, and he just, it's like an abrupt ending. You know, there isn't a happily ever after. There isn't a backstory to what happens after this. Luke just says, this is where it ends. And so there are all kinds of theories that go around. There are all kinds of ideas of that people have of why Luke did this. You see, some of the theories are this. Some say, well, the gospel came to the ends of the earth. If Paul made it to Rome, he made it to the ends of the earth. But the thing is if you know anything about Roman history, Rome wasn't the ends of the earth. Rome was really a hub. It was the hub from which everything spread out, and Rome is actually not the ends of the earth, but it's really just the beginning. It's the place you would go if you wanted things to spread even farther and even faster. And so we can't look at it and say that Paul really made it to the ends of the earth. And in fact, if you've read the book of Romans, you know that at Romans 15:28, Paul said that he wanted to stop in Rome on his way to Spain, because Paul knew that Rome wasn't the ends of the earth. He wanted to make it to Spain, which would have been the reaches of the Roman Empire to the west at that time. And so it isn't that. Another reason that's given as to why Luke didn't end the story differently, and in a sense I think they might be right, is that he just didn't know the end of the story. This is as far as he knew the story of Paul. Now some claim it's because his sources ran out. Others say for different reasons. But this is just the end of the story as Luke knew it. Now I have to say though, if Luke really this was the end of the story, I think he would have given it a better ending. I think if it was just this was all the information he had, he would have tried to explain how much good Paul had done in Rome instead of just saying, well, he taught and preached for 2 years. Really? Why not tell us about all of the good things that he did? Others say that Paul just didn't want to admit what the ending was. He knew that Paul had been found guilty, this theme goes, in Caesar's court, and he was sentenced to death right then. And so Luke was embarrassed, and he didn't want to include the final outcome. Yet so many times Luke tells about how Paul was facing trials and tribulations, and he left him in jail. And in fact, leaving him in jail isn't any better for writing to Theophilus than simply saying that he had been executed. So that one doesn't sound all that believable. Fourth, some claim that Luke was going to write a third volume. You know, he left it open because he was going to write another volume on top of what he ended with in the book of Acts. And some even will claim that maybe the pastoral epistles are Luke's third letters that he wrote to keep on going with the story. And finally, well, not finally, there's a bunch more, but we can't go on all morning. But finally, some people claim Luke knew what the ending was, in part, but he knew that the ending hadn't really been reached yet. Luke knew that the story didn't end with 2 years of house arrest for Paul. But the story isn't about Paul. You see, what would it look like if somebody were to write your story, the story of your life? You know, there's still more of your life to go. Or at least we assume there is. We always assume that we have more life to live. And so what would it look like if somebody wrote the story of your life as it is to this day? You would know that there's more life to live. Or how about this? What part do you play in the stories of other people's lives? And how would that be included in the story of the life of someone else? And I think that gets us to why Luke ends Acts the way he does. Because Acts isn't a story about Peter, and it isn't a story about Paul. It isn't a story about John. It isn't a story about the other disciples. It isn't a story about Cornelius and Lydia. It isn't a story about the converts that those men made. It isn't a story about Festus and Felix and Herod. It isn't a story about Lysias. It isn't a story about the Roman authorities. In fact, it isn't a story about all of those put together. But they're included in the story. And you and I, we're included as part of the story as well. You see, we're called to take the Gospels to other and thus play our part in the story of Acts. You see, while we can go to the top of the earth and we can reach the end of the top of the earth, but we can keep going, and if we take one step past north, we simply start going south without ever changing directions. Well, but at the same time, if we were to head out and we were to go west today, we could just keep going west, and we could just keep walking west, and eventually we might reach the east. But no matter how far west we go, we never change directions. We can never really reach the ends of the earth geographically. Rather, the ends of the earth will be reached not by reaching a location, but they will be reached when everyone has had the opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. When everyone has heard the name of Jesus Christ, when everybody has heard the truth of the kingdom of God, and everybody has been given the opportunity to respond to that truth. You see, to that end, Luke ended the book of Acts to show Theophilus that nothing could hinder the advancement of the gospel, as well as to tell him that we are to use every means possible and every opportunity that presents itself to share the gospel. You see, Luke ended the book of Acts the way he did because he knew the story hadn't ended. He stopped with Paul preaching the gospel to everyone who came to him by every means he had the opportunity to share it with them, because he wanted Theophilus to see that even imprisonment and the possibility of death was not enough to stop the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is true, and we are called to take our part. And to that end, the gospel or the book of Acts has not been finished yet. So Luke could never have recorded the end of the story because the story hasn't ended. It goes on with you and with me, and when I die and when you die and the next generation comes along, the generation that hasn't been born yet, when they come along and they get to be our age and there are generations behind them, the gospel story has not yet been finished. One day Scripture says that Jesus Christ will come with the shout of the angels, with the sound of the trumpet, and then the book of Acts will be finished, because then the gospel will be preached no more. But until then, the story goes on. And so just as Luke wrote to Theophilus to show him that he must continue, and other Christians in his day must continue to take that gospel, he writes to us and he says that we must do the same. And so if we just look at how Paul ends the story, He calls us to go back and to re-look at everything that's been said about Peter, everything that's been said about Paul, everything that's been said about the advancement of the gospel from the day that the church began in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost until the 2 years had ended and Paul was still proclaiming the gospel. And he says to us that we must use every means possible. We must use every means possible to spread the message of Jesus Christ. For Paul, it meant preaching the gospel. It meant proclaiming the truth about the kingdom of God. And when we think about preaching, often the word that's used when the New Testament uses the word preach, it's the word that means to be a herald. Now, we don't have heralds necessarily anymore, but you know, a herald was sent out with a message, and they would cry out the message for everybody who was in earshot to hear what the message was. And so in that sense, when we preach to everyone. We preach to those who believe and we preach to those who don't believe. We preach to those who are seeking the good news of the gospel. We preach to those who are seeking comfort for their broken hearts. We preach to those who are seeking to know the truth of the ache within them. We preach to those who believe and we preach to those who reject the truth. But we proclaim the truth of Jesus Christ. And there were those that would believe what Paul had to preach. There were those who would listen to the message that he as a herald was proclaiming about the kingdom of God. And there were those who would reject him. As if you've got most translations of the New Testament, have a footnote at verse 29. We didn't look at 28 and 29, but most of them have a footnote there. Some of them might have a verse bracketed off that says, after he said this, the Jews left, arguing vigorously amongst themselves. There were some of the Jews that heard the preaching of Paul that believed. There were some who didn't. And throughout the book of Acts, we see the same thing. There were those who believed, Jews and Gentiles alike, and there were those who disbelieved, Jews and Gentiles alike. But every time they preached, Paul proclaimed the truth to any who would listen. And it was a short announcement of the truth. On the other hand, Luke says that he wasn't just proclaiming or preaching the truth, but that he was also teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ. And throughout the gospel, or throughout the book of Acts, what we see over and over again is that there are these times of preaching when the whole crowds would be included, and there were times of teaching when those who were more serious in their desire to know the truth would come, and they would be given deeper instruction, and they would be given more structured teaching about what it meant that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. That the Scriptures of the Old Testament proclaimed that the Messiah would come and what the Messiah would look like and what He would do and why He would do the things that He did. And so you have this proclaiming, this preaching to the large group, and you have the teaching that would take place to those who were more serious about wanting to know. It doesn't mean that everybody that Paul taught was a believer, but there were some that were more serious and more studious and wanted to know the truth. And so they would look closer. And teaching would take on a longer and more in-depth nature than the preaching. And those are the two that Luke uses, but I was thinking if you study the New Testament, you know that those aren't the only means that Paul used to proclaim the truth. Because, I mean, after all, Paul wrote half of the New Testament. is by volume. By volume, he wrote half of the New Testament. By number of books, he wrote half of the New Testament. More than likely, Paul wrote half of what we call the New Testament today. Because there were times when Paul couldn't go. In fact, Luke says now that he's in chains, that he is in prison, under house arrest, probably paying his own expenses, living on the edge of the Roman military camp at Rome, under the guard of a group of elite Roman soldiers. Probably every 4 hours a different soldier came in to relieve the one that was there before, and were there to make sure that Paul continued to be where he was supposed to be. And so Paul couldn't go just anywhere he wanted anymore. And so what did Paul do? Paul began to write. Paul began to write the letters we know as the prison epistles. And church history says that he wrote some of those while he was incarcerated in Rome the first time, and then he was released from prison, and later he would be rearrested, and he would finish those prison epistles. And he would write these letters while he was chained and under guard. Because he couldn't go, and there were things that he needed to teach to people. And so he would write to the churches that he had been associated with, and he would remind them of the truth, and he would strengthen their faith, and he would teach them through the written word. And we're called to do the same things. We're called to use every means that we have available to us to teach and to preach the message of Jesus Christ. And so maybe it's magazine articles that you read or write. Maybe it's podcasts that you share. It's the opportunity to take advantage of the things that we have that they might not have had, and to use them to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I was thinking about singing as I was writing this sermon and getting ready to preach. I was thinking about singing. You remember in Philippi, Paul and Silas were in jail. They weren't preaching a message. They weren't teaching the others in the jail, but yet they were singing hymns to God at midnight. Sometimes we can sing the truth. I remember when Logan was born, holding him in the corner of a hospital room in a little itty-bitty hospital in a little itty-bitty town in the middle of South Dakota, and holding him in my arms. And the first thing I did was tell him what his name was and tell him that he might as well learn how to spell Woolery, because he was going to have to do it for the rest of his life. And then singing "Jesus Loves Me" to this little itty-bitty baby that fit in my arm, holding him there and singing the truth. "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. Jesus loves me, this I know." Because sometimes we can share the truth of Jesus in songs. Songs that we sing that proclaim the truth that Jesus is the Savior of all mankind. But whatever the case, God has gifted us each with different abilities, and we're to use every means possible to us to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are called to take the gospel by every means possible. And then Luke ends his gospel the way he does, because not only are we to use every means possible, but but in showing us that Paul was present in a rented house for 2 years and telling us that he continued to preach and teach, he says that we're to use every opportunity that presents itself. To use every means possible and to use every opportunity that presents itself to spread the message of Jesus Christ. After all, here is Paul. He is in chains. He says several times, I am in chains for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am a prisoner of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am in prison for preaching the truth of Jesus Christ. He says as he writes his different letters. And here's the thing, the Romans thought that they had Paul as a captive. What they didn't realize is rather Paul had them as a captive audience. They thought they had Paul as a captive, but Paul just looked at it and said, hey, what a great opportunity. Every 4 hours I get a new guard and I can tell him about Jesus. Every 4 hours a new guy comes in and he is my captive audience. I mean, it's what he says in Philippians chapter 1. In Philippians chapter 1, Paul writing to his friends at Philippi says, now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chain, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. Imagine your situation and things look pretty bleak. You're in prison, chained to this guard. And Paul looks at that situation. He says, hey, good news. I'm in prison. What? Yeah, it's good news. It's turned out to be a great benefit because the whole household of Caesar is hearing about the gospel of Jesus Christ. The slaves, the servants who come around, the ones who are there serving Caesar, they've heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Those of his household are hearing. Those who are part of the Roman military, that this whole detachment has heard about Jesus Christ because I'm in chains. It's good news. You see, Paul simply looked at the situation he had and he said, what is the opportunity here and now to present the gospel of Jesus Christ? Or like what he says to his protege Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 verses 8 through 10. He says, remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Paul writes to his friend Timothy and he says, they think they have me chained, but it's them that are chained. They're chained to me, so they have to listen to the gospel. They can't get away from the truth that I'm sharing. And maybe for you it isn't being in prison. Maybe it's the doctor's visits. And you go in and you sit down in the exam room and you begin a conversation with a nurse and she's a follower of Jesus, and pretty soon the doctor comes in and he's not, but you're talking with the nurse and he has to listen. He's got nowhere to go. He's there to examine you, and you just have this conversation about Jesus Christ. He becomes your captive audience. Or anywhere you go, you get this opportunity to visit with one person, and there's other people around, and they become an audience. Because you're talking about Jesus Christ. I don't know how many times I've had waitresses and waiters have to stop at the end of my table and wait for me to get done praying. Because every time we go out to eat, we say a prayer just like we do at home. I had a few that were didn't understand what was going on, and they start to put the food down and realize you're not paying a bit of attention to them. And then they stop and they wait. But you know, it gives you an opportunity. Hey, we're praying. We believe that God provided this food, and we believe that God loves us so much that He provided His Son. And it gives you the opportunity. You may be there out of need. You may be there out of just abundance. But it gives you the opportunity when you have those captive audiences. But it wasn't just the captive audiences that Paul was preaching and teaching to, but Luke says everyone that came to him. Paul was in a very good position. While he was under arrest, he must have had some luxury to have people come in. And in fact, we know that many times the Roman government didn't care about its prisoners. You know, if you were in prison, in a Roman prison, they didn't care about you. They didn't provide you with food. They didn't provide you with clothes. They just made sure you stayed in prison. If you died in prison, oh well, they really didn't care. And so people would come and they would take care of some of Paul's needs. But there were others who would hear about this guy that was telling this great story. And they would say, we want to hear what Paul has to say. And so some people would come in without knowing the gospel, and Paul would preach the gospel to them. There were others that would come and want to know more about the gospel, and Paul would teach them. But they would come and they would go. And as they came and as they went, the light would continue to go out from Paul. And Paul would just preach the truth, and people would see that there was something different about this man who had joy in the midst of his chains. This man who believed that his chains were actually a good thing. You know, most of us would look at that and say, I could think of a lot more productive places to be. But for Paul, he said, right now, this is the most productive place I could be. And that light, that light that Paul had was going out from him and shining into the darkness. But you know what? Light doesn't just go out and shine out there, but light attracts people to itself. Light has this warming, inviting nature. That's why Motel 6 can say, we'll leave the light on for you. And I say, well, you can leave it on as long as you want. I'm not stopping. But they're going to leave it on anyway. Because light attracts. That's why people used to put a candle in their window at certain times in certain places. They put a candle in the window that said, here's our house. You need a safe place. We're here. You see, because light attracts. And so as Paul was preaching, people would go out from Paul and they would hear about Paul and his message, and that would draw them in. The light would draw people in. And we're called to do the same thing. We're called to be the light of the world. Jesus says that we're like a city on a hill that can't be hidden. The truth, the light of Jesus Christ is supposed to go out from us and illuminate the world around us. But as it illuminates, it's also supposed to draw people in. And we're supposed to use every opportunity we have to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Peter said that when people ask, we're always to be ready to give a defense. Now not like to defend it against false teaching, but rather it's to give witness, to give a witness to the truth of why we believe what we believe. And so Paul simply was teaching everybody who would come to him. He was preaching to everybody who would come to him. Day in and day out for 2 years, Paul continued in the same path. And if we look at the rest of the book of Acts, and we simply take what Luke has written and understand what he's saying to Theophilus, it isn't just about being in chains, but it's about everything that Paul had done. It's about everything that Peter had done. It's about everything that John was a part of, and James, and Barnabas, and Silas, and Timothy, and Mark, and about every one of them that took the gospel. And it's not about everyone who comes only, but it's about everywhere that we go. It's about taking the gospel everywhere that we might go. That's why Luke doesn't end the story with Paul and put a good finished ending on it, but he leaves it open, because the gospel doesn't stop at Rome. It keeps moving to the ends of the earth. It doesn't just stop at Rome. We know that the gospel reached Spain. We know that later the gospel would reach points north in Europe, up to what we now call Great Britain and Ireland, while Rome was still in control of the world. We know that it reached down into Egypt, places that Paul never went, Egypt and points on the northern parts of Africa. The gospel went to the ends of the earth. We know that it made it farther west, probably into parts of current India, and maybe into parts of China, as others, apostles and other people, spread the gospel to the west. It made it to the ends of the earth. But then we know, 1,500 years later, 1,600 years later, it made it across the sea to the New World. It made it to the Americas. We know eventually it made it to Australia and New Zealand. We know that it's made it to the little islands, the little atolls all over the Pacific Ocean. The gospel has indeed made it around the earth, but there are still people that need to hear. And Luke says that we are to take the gospel everywhere we go, with every opportunity that presents itself. Because as John says in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, he says, "And after this I looked, and there was before me a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands." People from every nation and tribe and language. Everywhere on the earth the gospel is supposed to go. So everywhere we go, we're supposed to take the gospel so that everyone can hear. Jesus said it this way, according to Matthew. It says, "And he came to them and said, Behold, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. Go and preach the gospel to make disciples, and then teach them. Go everywhere, not just to the Jews, but to the nations, all of the nations." Everywhere we go, we're supposed to take the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're supposed to use every opportunity that presents itself. You see, we might not be able to go everywhere, but everywhere we go, we're to spread the gospel. None of us can go everywhere, but all of us go somewhere. And everywhere we go, we're supposed to present the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, while it would be nice if Luke had given us a nice ending to the book of Acts, if he had, he wouldn't have fulfilled his mission to tell Theophilus about everything that he had examined, and to tell Theophilus the story of what was taking place. Because if he would have simply ended the story with the end of Paul, or the end of Paul's imprisonment, if he would have written a nice conclusion, it would have looked like the gospel work was finished, but it isn't. It wasn't in A.D. 62 when Paul was most likely released from prison in Rome to eventually make it to Spain. It wasn't finished then, and I can tell you that it's not finished today. There are still thousands of people groups, not a thousand people, but thousands of groups of people who do not have the Scripture in their native tongues. Thousands of people groups who cannot honestly hear the message of Jesus Christ because there is no way to tell them the truth. You see, the gospel still needs to go. And though we've come to the last verse of Luke's record of the advancement of the gospel, we have not reached the end of the story. Because we're each called to be a part of the story as we make use of every means possible and every opportunity that presents itself to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Each one of us is called to share the story of the love of God for mankind that meant He sent His Son to die on a cross, to carry the burden of your sins and mine, and to deal with the wages of sin, to offer us the gift of life. Every one of us is to tell the story of a risen Savior who ascended into heaven to inaugurate the kingdom of God here on earth. Each one of us is called to take that message to those who do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior and to encourage them. Encourage them to come and to be a part of the kingdom of God. Every one of us is called to have our place in the story of the book of Acts that one day will be finished, though it isn't yet. Each one of us is called to put our name beside Paul's and Peter's and Philip's as we take the message of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Though we've reached the end of the book of Acts, we haven't reached the end of the story. What part will you play in writing the chapter that you're a part of? What will your life record or be recorded as in the book of Acts? Somebody who heard and rejected the truth? Or somebody whose life was changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ? And when their life was changed, they couldn't help but tell others. This morning we're going to sing one more song. And it's an invitation to those who do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior to begin that path and say, today I need to make a difference in my own life. But it's an invitation to each one of us. And more than an invitation, it's an emphatic statement from the lips of Jesus Christ. It's an emphatic statement from the pen of Paul. It's an emphatic statement from the book of Luke that we are to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to the lost and dying world. How are you doing? If you need somebody to pray for you and encourage you as you do that this morning, won't you come as we stand and sing together, Change My Heart, O God.